Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:09 in St. Louis. You're listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. It's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour. Design Air has over 75 HVAC technicians, so they always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Northwest. It's hard to stop a train. Taking a look at your Four Seasons Penske truck, Captain's Log, Eddie McVeigh at 8:45 and Lisa Ann at 9:15. Plus, Iggy's Drops of the Week presented by the Post Sports Bar and Grill, the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and the Hot Shots email of the day, in which Matt, who bowls at Hank's, approaches the middle of the month with a nice lead of one.
And now we're calling him Waba? MWBAH, Matt, who bowls at Hank's?
I kind of like
Waba.
That. Did you create that?
I didn't. I just see that on the
Captain's Log. It's an acronym?
Yeah.
Nurse?
Like that.
I like your description of his lead. You called it nice.
Yeah. No, I'm very, very vivid in my details. People are like, how do you come up with that kind of adjective? And yeah. I did.
Nice.
Boy, yeah. Doug, I'm taking a look at the Kirkwood Brewhouse patio, and just to think, the kind of pony show that'll be going on out there in less than 12 hours.
During the show, people stop. Hey.
Hello, friend.
Hey, Lou.
Oh, that's Lou.
Yeah.
Doug, at St. Gabriel's, we had a bus driver named Lou. Lou was a bus driver.
Not a whole lot of people named Lou anymore. Used to be a very popular name. There's no one named Doug anymore, either. No kids named Doug.
Well, Doug Henning.
Older people.
Doug Peterson.
Coach of the 5-1 Eagles.
Yeah, but I mean kids. There's no kids named Doug anymore.
Doug Christie was sort of a slasher guard.
Well, there have been people named Doug.
No, but
before.
You just said there are no Dougs anywhere to be found.
There aren't any kids named Doug anymore.
You're embarrassing.
Or
yourself.
Lou, really.
I got a lot to ask Lisa Ann. I mean, I'll get her sleeper play of the week because once again, she's just giving you free picks for your daily fantasy
sports. She makes picks, we make money.
No, I lose a lot of money nearly every Sunday with DraftKings. I won the TMA League like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Those winnings are already gone, evaporated. But she'll give you a play, and it's a value play. But also, the Lana Rhodes, Adriana Chechik thing that we covered yesterday with Lana Rhodes falling into Tampa Bay. We'll get to the bottom of that.
I think Lisa Ann may have some info on that.
You would think.
Well, that's important stuff. If someone stumbled, that's important.
And Mia Khalifa, friend of Iggy's and friend of the show, Lisa Ann took a shot at her on the Twitter tweets. Iggy's mic has not been potted up.
God love her.
Thank you. You are in support. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Lisa Ann versus Mia Khalifa.
I loved what she said about her.
How about that, Doug? Can you believe it?
What did she say?
She said basically she's an attention whore. Somebody said, comrades in the business. She goes, well, she skipped through for about 15 minutes to get some publicity, and now she's out. So thank you, Lisa Ann.
Yep, there it is. See, that was, I think, in support of Iggy. So we'll get to the bottom of that. That's at 9:15. Send your texts in and your phone calls in. I see Mike Lee is already on hold with the take. Yeah. Probably on the
that may have been left over from yesterday when he was on the line for three solid hours.
855-282-8255, 855-CUB-TALK. And you can also text in that very same number, 855-CUB-TALK, but email in Matt who bowls at Hank's with that nice lead for the Hot Shots email of the day. That's right. That's what we have for you here on today's radio program. And Doug, the NLCS is set. If you stayed up until midnight or 1 in Washington, you saw the Nationals lose once again in the NLDS.
Nat's going to nat, aren't they?
They do nat.
They wrapped it up in a tidy little 4.5 hours, 9-inning ball game.
There were tykes in the stands asleep, I saw.
I know.
At 11:25, I said, yep, I'm going to DVR it. I'm not going to get in a spot where I'm up until past midnight. So I woke up this morning and watched the rest of it. The 9th inning actually didn't have any drama.
No.
And I really thought, especially based on how the Nationals were starting to rake on Davis in the bottom of the 8th, and the Cubs had nobody left.
Mm-mm.
That the Nationals truly had a shot at winning that thing. But they went down Harper K's to end it. Jason Wirth, in most likely what was his last at bat as a Washington National, swings at a high fastball to strike out.
And there just was no drama. And the Cubs advanced for the third straight year to the NLCS. Either the Cubs or the Cardinals have been in the NLCS every year. And you have to go back to 2010 to find a year where the Cubs or Cardinals weren't in the NLCS. How about that?
Well, I don't want to go back there.
That's just a fun fact, baby.
That game ended almost 1 in the morning, Washington time.
Yep. If you didn't hear me say it, Doug has just confirmed it. There were tykes in the stands.
Well, I know.
Were they sleeping?
They were tykes in the stands.
Well, what time did this game end?
One kid there.
I don't know.
Washington time, almost 1. I wasn't home yet.
What were you doing?
Old lady journalism. What? That hussy was kicking me in bed.
Because you had the Panthers-Eagles game.
That's right.
Sweet.
So I got home about midnight.
Ship the over on that one. Not midnight. Much of a sweat. Not much
what
of a
sweat. What do you do when it's a... I can't remember from my days when I used to anchor like a nightly news. So when the game is underway and it's something you want to include in your sportscast, can you use video of something? Or can you not? Or do you just break the
it
rules?
It used to be if it were on cable, you could.
Right. That's pretty much
it. Is that still the deal?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't use it if it's on.
So you just grab a couple of highlights and go, it'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out.
No, it was over.
Oh, it was over.
It had to be
over
before
our
news would start. That's why we were late, because the game was on our channel.
No, I'm talking about the playoff game.
Yeah,
playoff
the
baseball.
Attitude and the cover.
What's wrong with you?
That was on TBS.
Right. What's wrong with you, boy? So you ran highlights.
What's wrong with you, boy?
So you ran highlights.
Football, boy.
Well, that's what I was talking about.
That's a nice hole, boy.
Yeah, well, we ran a couple of plays, sure.
And then did you say it'll be interesting to see how this one shakes out?
Yes, I said, well, here's the score. It's 9-8 in the eighth, boy.
and did you say it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out?
I left that out. I was
you
should
have.
I was too sleepy.
Oh, you think these spuds aren't mashed enough, boy? Let's change that, you filthy boy.
Guys, just tuned in. You know what time the Cubs-Nats game ended. Thanks, Mr.
Well,
Nichols.
it was about 11:45-ish St. Louis time. That's almost 1 o'clock in the morning in Washington.
I'll tell you what.
Go ahead.
Joe Maddon kind of, he kind of effed that one up. He ran good. It won't be discussed, understandably so. The Cubs are in the NLCS for the third straight year.
What's up, man, chow?
But they were absolutely exposed if the Nationals got one more run. I don't know what they even would have done. They were in a world of hurt. And to have Wade Davis, who hadn't thrown that many innings since 2013, I don't think he had more than a three-out save all year long, throw 7 outs. Again, process, yeah. It worked out, but that was odd.
You're not results oriented necessarily.
Because he in the World Series, a lot of the criticism was he ran his relievers into the ground, and they won, and so it flew under the radar. Had they lost, he would have been crucified in Chicago, and by Cubs fans around the world. But with this, it seemed a similar spot where he had kind of backed himself into a corner, and I don't even know what they would have done had that gone to extra innings. I really don't know what they would have done.
I was shocked to see Scherzer hit around. When he came in, I was like, all right, this is a nice move. What are you going to do?
And it was quiet. He got the first two outs with no problems, and then some hell broke loose. What did you think about in the eighth inning, for those of you who did not stay up because the game ended like it?
1 o'clock Washington time.
Right.
Or thereabouts.
So
it's too late.
In the eighth inning, Jose Lobaton, catcher for the Nationals, was picked off that Yadier Molina throw behind the runner at first base, even though he was the go-ahead run, the tying runs at second, and the person of, I call him M.A. Taylor, and I think that's catchy and hip and keeps me in touch with the younger kids.
I call him Michael A. Tater.
I should have used that.
You know, he said
don't ring the bell.
I don't like when people don't like
that. That was Tim's ringing it.
It's not appropriate.
I kind of liked it though.
It was a solid. It's a solid base running play to get picked off of first with the tying run at second, with two outs in the eighth inning.
But
game 5.
I've been reading some of the columns in the Washington Post, and people are saying, should that really be an out? In other words, you know, is that what replay was for? And I have to say, yeah. I mean, I know it sucks in the sense that, you know, it took away some drama and it gave the Cubs an out when Davis was on the ropes before he even had to pitch in the ninth. This is in the bottom of the eighth. But, yeah, I mean, he came off the bag. Sucks, but that's an out.
So I don't understand the opposing
like
premise.
It's such a, Doug, I'm going to use this word, and I don't know if it's going to be appropriate, but I don't think many people know what it means, so I won't get called on
okay.
It. It's such a persnickety play.
No, let's not say persnickety.
I think it works. That
it shouldn't have counted?
Right. For real. Like I read Thomas Boswell's column this morning in the Washington Post, and he used it as he put quotes around out.
So So how do you? Is there a panel before you utilize replay? You have to go to the panel. It'll be Wayne Garrett and Chili Davis,
Ooh,
and
they'll be sitting up in St. Louis a countdown. People thought it was Jeffrey Leonard, but it was Chili Davis.
And they'll sit up in a booth, and then you look at them, and they'll give you like up or down that you can go to replay if the play is deemed non-persnickety.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of a persnickety play.
Oh my God!
I mean, he beats the throw. But his foot comes an inch off the bag, and the first baseman keeps the glove on the foot.
But how many times have we seen someone thrown out at second because they hold the tag?
I know.
That's been a standard operating procedure all season.
That's persnickety, too.
Yeah, I think they got rid of the neighborhood play. That's a good thing. The other play that was very interesting was that swing that caught the catcher on the mask. Yeah. And I was reading people tweeting out the rule that said that's a strike. If on the backswing you catch the catcher's mask, then it's an out. I still don't really understand
that. It's an out?
I mean, it's a strike, so it should have been an out right there. Dead ball, strike. That would have been strike three. Right?
Well, the Nationals did get a solid defensive job from their backstop, Matt Wieters.
That's kind of a matter of opinion.
Couple of pass balls.
Gunned one into the outfield.
Wild, yeah, throw into right field.
If you're a Washington Nationals fan, I mean, they've lost four NLDSs. This was the fifth anniversary. Last night was the fifth anniversary of Gio Gonzalez being out there with that huge lead against the Cardinals. And, yeah, I mean, who's going to get Pete Cosma out in the top of the ninth?
Nobody gets Cosma. He'll take you to their outfield.
Ron Darling, I think, referenced that every half inning. And had the Cardinals been on the short end of the stick, that would have been driving me up the wall to hear about that every half inning. But nonetheless, and it was brought up over and over again, this time they had a 3-run lead, 4-1, and Gonzalez was out there, and he couldn't get through three innings, although it seems like starters are rarely getting through five innings anyway. I'll be anxious to see what Kershaw, I assume Kershaw starting game one. They're all rested in L.A. tomorrow night. I assume he gets to go five innings. I don't know. Most of these guys get yanked so quick, but along those lines, the Nationals losing in heartbreaking fashion to the Cardinals. They were a favorite, heavy favorite. If you remember, the Cardinals were there in part because of that infield fly rule thing in 2012 against the Braves. In 2014, they were a favorite against the Giants. In 2016, they were a favorite against the Dodgers. And this year, a favorite against the Cubs. And every single time, they have lost. And at some point, that core that has gotten there, I mean, Worth, I made reference to, is 37 or 8. He's in his final year of his contract with the Nationals. I mean, that's rough. It's just, granted, the Cubs thing lasted for 100 years, but to have this kind of failure in this kind of fashion in a condensed amount of time with phenomenal regular seasons, that has really got to be brutal for Nationals fans. I mean, brutal. I think last night they were convinced, okay, we're going to get over the hump, and it was the same kind of thing. A bunch of bizarre things happening, another lead, multiple opportunities, and then they pissed the bed. I mean, bottom of the eighth, tying run at second, go-ahead run at first. A closer who hasn't pitched two innings all year is out there and struggling, and what happened? And then Adam Lynn. The other thing is, this is one of the things I bitch about, and it almost is a divisive thing among baseball fans. Derek Gould, whose opinion obviously I respect a great deal. I know he's on the opposite side of this, but if you recall, Davis was struggling. Adam Lynn comes up, two on, nobody out, and Davis had been going deep into counts, and Lynn swings at the first pitch, and he rolls over on it, and it's a 4-6-3 double play. You know, when you got a guy who doesn't have a history of throwing deep in Wade Davis, and he's struggling to find the plate, make him throw a couple strikes and see what you can get. And I would have said that had he gotten a base hit. I feel like there's a strategy there, and it was abandoned. And it was obviously very costly.
I heard a baseball insider just say, Nat's going to nat as his explanation.
You said that. You said it like
three minutes ago. Yeah, that was me.
It's got to be in their heads at this point, just waiting for something to go wrong. When it goes wrong
year after year. There's different players on the roster. I get it. I understand what you're saying. Some of them are the same, but... You know, over the years, the roster turns over. You have different guys in there. If you're the fans of that team, it's got to be heartbreaking.
Doug, this is Sam on the appliances counter phone.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, Doug. How are you?
Well, I'm average. You?
About the same.
All right.
I agree totally with Tim's point about the situational hitting.
Of course.
I mean, the Cardinals are like the worst ever with that, with swinging at the first pitch after a couple walks, but that's not what I want to talk about. The defensive alignment for Washington in the fifth inning, both managers were doing it. I felt like I was watching Tony La Russa manage in the middle of a game. You pull the infielders in the first and second inning in all these games when the guys get on third base, playing for a run, which kind of defies baseball logic, if you look at it, to bring guys in that early. So what do they do when they bring Max Scherzer in? They play Rendon off the line on third. That was a double play ball to third base. That was no double. I mean, Rendon, if you watch the replay, look how far he was off the bag. You know, they got a walk, a hit batsman, that little grounder, a blooper to left, and the catcher missed the strike three, and they got four runs. So
that ball by Rendon was hit pretty hard. He never. Now you
it
can
was
say he should
down the right.
He, yeah, he should have been. He should have been closer to the line. You can say that, but it was struck pretty well. He barreled it up, Doug.
Right. Well, he did hit the ball hard. And another step to the right, it's a double play.
Agreed.
If you watch Rendon, he didn't react when the ball was hit. He got a poor move on the ball to begin with. But at the least, it would have been a force out. Or it had a chance to throw the guy out at home. I just can't believe, if you're going to do that in the first inning and second inning of all these games playing, that they're going to be close games, and then you have your best pitcher on the mound, I can't believe you would have put Rendon where you put him. And that's what, if you're going to do that, you have to be consistent throughout, and they weren't. And so, both of those teams deserve to lose.
Hey, just calm down, Sam.
Wow. I don't think that's completely right, though. In the first inning, the infield was back, and they got a run when Rizzo grounded out.
And Turner threw the ball to first instead of second to the fourth out.
Yeah, and then for Madden to leave Davison for seven outs again after he got so lucky with Chapman last year.
Are you a Cards fan? Are you a Cardinals fan? I'm just curious.
No, not really.
Well, what team do you root for?
I'm a John Mozeliak hater. So
okay, come on, settle down, Sam.
So I just like to see good games. That's all.
Who else is Madden going to put in? Who else is going to put in? He used seven pitchers. He's emptied. He lost Lester and Arrieta yesterday. Who else has he got?
Well, it's called managing. That's what you're supposed to manage.
Did he not do that?
I mean, Tim said it earlier. No, he didn't do that. What would have happened if the game got tied? Then they're really screwed. You can't empty it out and expect a guy to get seven outs when he never got seven outs.
Well, he just did. And what are you going to do? Are you going to wait for bring Davis in when you've already fallen behind?
Well,
you're going to leave somebody else out there to get tattooed?
Well, hopefully he's constructed a roster where you depend on people that can throw the ball.
Sam, I think Doug got you.
If you had 30 or 35 guys on the roster, maybe you'd have plenty of pitching, but you don't. And they've been playing playoff games every other night. They're out of pitchers. So are the Nationals. They're all out of pitchers.
Well,
all right,
we just want Davis for the ninth inning because that's what he always does.
Doug,
but
at
some point, you're just out of pitching.
Doug, you're learning stuff.
But you're looking at pitch counts, too. I mean, all year you go on pitch counts, pitch counts, pitch counts, pitch counts. That's all they do. And then you get in the playoffs and you let this guy in for seven outs.
Well, you don't play by the regular season guidelines when you're in game five of the NLDS. You don't rest people. It's all hands on deck.
It's win or go home. Doug, it's win or go home.
It's win or go home, boy.
You got to put yourself in the best position to win, and if you think that was their best position to win at that point in the game, I would argue with that, absolutely.
Well, what would you have done? What other pitcher would you have used?
I'd use the starters that were on short rest.
They used Quintana. Quintana pitched.
If I had depleted my bullpen. Well, then you let him pitch longer. You don't put these guys in for one or two outs early in the game. I mean, again, it's called managing. You got to see down the road what you have in front of you, and if you don't do that, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
It's called managing, and you know how to do it better than Joe Madden.
No, but I know when it's doing wrong. I don't know. I'm not a cook either, but I know a bad meal when I eat one.
Oh.
Damn. Gina's home.
Oh.
Gina's home.
Everybody knows more than the guy, the reigning World Series champion.
Culinary burn.
Tampa. Yeah, it's real easy to say, well, why didn't you use
players? Oh, Eddie hung up.
That was a mic drop.
Why didn't you use players the same way you use them in the regular season? Mm-hmm. You don't get it? You're going home if you don't win. You
win or go home. It's win or go home.
It's win or go home, boy.
Bleach. Tasty stuff, Sam. Doug. Hey, guys, it sounds like 101 ESPN is bleeding through your channel. Thanks. It's from the 314. tell this D-bag to lay down in front of a tarp when the rain delay starts. That's from Zeebo's wrestling buddy. Get this mother effer off the air. It's from Coach Tim. I hope Sam goes to prison and...
No.
That was Dick Groats Gagger. Hey, Sam, suck my ass, you twink. Hey, Sam, your cup of bleach is ready.
Tim, that's what this show is. It's just a bunch of guys talking sports and having fun. Mm-hmm. That's what we are.
That's all that it is.
That's what we're doing.
Absolutely it.
Just like you would at your local sports bar,
yeah,
your water cooler.
That's what you say when you're a consultant and you put that in the promo. Yeah, Mike. Doug Mike's on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
Oh, hello, Mike. Hello, Mike. Mike. Michael.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey. So are you really a Cardinal fan if you're rooting for the Cubs last night?
Yes, that's the definition. Yeah. If you were rooting for the Cubs, then you can't be a Cardinal fan.
Like, all right, so if the Hawks are in the Stanley Cup Finals and you're a Blues fan, you can't be rooting for the Hawks last night.
You can root for whoever you want to root for. You don't have to play by somebody else's rules as to who you root for.
Doug, but you're a controversial host, though.
Yeah, it's my rule. Everyone should play by my rule.
Well, we don't.
Yeah,
are you upset by somebody for rooting for the Cubs?
Yeah, not a real Cardinal fan.
If you root for the Cubs to beat the Nationals.
Yeah, you should always root against your rival.
Okay.
Hands down.
Well, this is Mike. Mike, I'm going to... So give us some reasons behind your hot take, and then you and Doug can go back and forth, and you know what it'll be like? Just a bunch of guys talking sports and having fun. So give us why you believe the way you do.
Because you should always want your rival to do awful.
That's not that funny.
No, if you self-giggle, then it's like a self-ring.
Well, you can root for certain players as a Cardinal fan, you can say, well, I'd like to see John Jay do well. Jason Hayward, he was a good player when he was here. I kind of Rizzo and Bryant, those are interesting players.
That's completely different than rooting for, like, the whole team.
Well, you're rooting for the players on that team.
I love seeing Pete Cosma do well. Big Pete Cosma guy. But don't want to see the Cubs do well.
Okay, well, sorry.
Right, fair enough. Thank you, Mike. I don't root for the Cubs generally, but I like John Jay, and so... If he does well, I'm happy for him. But generally speaking, I was rooting for the Nationals last night. It's not like I hate the Cubs. Some of those guys are really nice guys. Like you mentioned, Rizzo's a great guy. Bryant's a really good guy. Mm-hmm. But I root against the Cubs and for the Nationals. But it's not like I was heartbroken when the Cubs won. And I don't think some people are like, hey, I'd rather root for a team in our own division, you know, than someone else. I get that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean, I love
you're still there.
Cubs misery.
What, say that again.
Cubs fans suffer is, well, before last year.
Yeah.
Like, having Rajah Davis hit that home run off Chapman, that would have just been a perfect ending. But, you know, obviously they lost.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
All right, Mike.
Don't be a stranger, but don't call back too soon either.
Mike needs to start gambling because I bet the Cubs last night, and I was rooting heavily for the Cubs. If you gamble and you'll start betting on teams that maybe you wouldn't root for, you'll start rooting for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
What are you saying? So you do like the Cubs or you don't like the Cubs?
I liked them last night.
So so it's like the fantasy thing. It could be a player you don't like on a team you don't like, but if he's on your fantasy team, you're rooting for
him. You didn't understand what he said. He bet on the Cubs. No, he was rooting for them.
Listen, boy, I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. I'm just saying, generally speaking, outside of wagering, if it's a good bet, are you rooting for the Cubs or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so you like the Cubs.
That has nothing to do with not...
That's what
like
I was asking.
The Cardinals.
That's all I was asking. I don't think it's out of bounds for a Cardinal fan when the Cardinals are out of it to go ahead and root for the Cubs. I don't do it, but I understand.
And if you're a baseball fan, wouldn't you rather see the Cubs and the Dodgers? I think that'd be a hell of a series.
Yeah, but those Nats, based on their past history, you want that excitement as they move forward. They always seem to advance.
They never seem to advance.
Yeah, I don't think they ever have.
No.
We have a caller on line 2. Is that correct, Doug?
Looks like it.
Hello, caller.
Hello, caller. Joe Pelosi, who's that?
Hello?
Yeah, is that Big Al?
Yes.
Hello, Al.
Hey, I had to stop eating my Salisbury steak for this. ABC, anybody but Chicago. Okay? The Blackhawks suck. The Cubs suck.
Does he have
the
a tape
Bears
audience?
Suck. Nobody in St. Louis has had any kind of
machine in the background.
should root for the damn Cubs, except for the fact I'm jealous that they got a good manager and we don't, and they know how to win the playoffs when we can't get there. That's a whole nother scenario. Mm.
Good take.
Hey, Cat, quit crying. You're tired all the time. Doug works harder than you.
Yeah, thank you, Al.
Who eats Salisbury steak for breakfast?
Me, from last night when I had it at my clubhouse in Lake St. Louis watching playoff baseball and waiting for the Cardinal game to come on. Oh, that's right. We're not playing this year again.
What do you mean clubhouse? Is it at the golf course out there?
Yeah, we got a clubhouse with a bar and a restaurant, and the Blue Hairs were dancing, and we had they got dinners there, Doug. It's really good. You guys should come out.
We ought to come out. You know, there's some Salisbury steak in Lake St. Louis, Doug.
Is that someone like told that. Me they probably have the best Salisbury steak in the whole St. Louis area proper.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think I'm eating it at 6:30 in the morning, Iggy? You want me to bring you one?
Well, I was joking.
No, I'm all right.
They got mushrooms and onions on it, man, and smothering gravy with corn and a roll and mashed potatoes. Man, oh man, it's good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yep. But anyway, I'm gonna good. Get back. Get out! My dog's trying to eat it. But I just want to say we cannot root for Chicago in any way, fashion, or form. Okay. I mean, that's just enough. The only reason we could ever try to root for him is because we'll probably, in Matheny era, never see any playoff baseball again.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
That could be the only reason. But other than that, you suck, Chicago. Bye, guys. I'm going to Normandy.
All right, see you, Al.
Boy, I mean, the crap that he just spewed, including that you work hard.
Yeah. Well, that part was...
Doug, do you really believe any Chicago Cubs fans would root for the Cardinals? Those people hate the Cardinals. Thanks. That's from the Millstat Circle Jerks.
I don't care who other people root for. I don't care. Root for who you want to root for. I wasn't rooting one way or the other last night. It was just an interesting game.
What about those? And I don't. But what about those folks who root for Hillary?
Well, they're misguided.
Well, you care about that.
Well, not anymore. I don't have to care about it anymore. We were saved.
I got to suggest you. Kiss my ass.
I do agree with you. I can't root for the Cubs. I can't. But it's not like I get mad when someone else does and they say they're a car. Who cares?
If the Cubs play the Yankees in the World Series, I would certainly root for the Cubs in that.
Oh, why do you hate Matt Holliday? Yeah. Why do you hate Matt Holliday and Jaime Garcia?
Why would I like the Yankees?
Because they have Matt Holliday and they never play and Jaime Garcia.
Yeah, I just assume see the Cubs win it as the Yankees.
You know what I do? I take years of service to the Cardinals, and I add it up for each team, and the team that has former Cardinals that have played the most, then that's how I root.
Okay.
I don't know if it makes sense mathematically.
Well, not a lot.
No, I just wanted to say hi, that's all.
That's
okay.
It?
Okay.
Just check in.
Good, see ya.
Tim, my parents are hosting an engagement party for my fiance and I at their house in Washington, Missouri. I know it's short notice, but can you please come? You can have my parents' bedroom. It'd mean a lot to me, really. Thanks, Tim. That's from Brock Olivo's child.
Brock Olivo, boy, he had a nice career at Mizzou.
Yeah, he did. What was that, 94 through 97?
That sounds about right.
His child seems a little misguided to throw out an invite to someone he doesn't know like that, though.
Yeah, but I'm a friend of the feather.
Well, you are a friend of the feather.
Hey, last night, did you watch that TBS postgame show that's terrible?
I didn't.
Wait, no. You just do a little commentary.
Well, that's right. Well, you're going to get to hear some audio. Do we have the question that was asked of Bryce Harper? Do we have and... Casey Stern is the gentleman's name. So Jimmy Rollins, Doug, is he done playing?
Yes.
Okay.
I think so. I think this was his last year.
Gary Sheffield, who I worshipped growing up because I had like a million of his baseball cards when he was a future star. And like, was that 86, 87?
No, exactly.
Boy, his exit velo was great.
Okay.
And Pedro Martinez, they enjoy talking over each other. I think they're fans of the late night score, and so they're just kind of paying homage to the late night score. But Casey Stern, he was in a tizzy over a question that was asked to Bryce Harper. Take a listen.
Any thoughts on how the Cubs died this year?
Not really looking up towards it at all.
Let me tell you something. You guys players talk about players. I don't know who that member of the media was. You do not ask a player who, after 18 days off all season, just lost his season, what he thinks about the next series. To quote Bryce Harper, that's a clown question. That is a disgrace.
What? Wait, can I hear it one more time?
Sure,
I want to hear the question. And then we can Doug, we're going to workshop and take some notes.
Yeah, all right.
Any thoughts on how the Cubs died this year? Any thoughts on how the Cubs died this year?
How the Cubs did what?
I don't understand.
How the Cubs died?
Any thoughts on how the Cub-Dodger series will go?
Oh, okay. Because
the mic
almost,
cuts out.
It was almost like he didn't even want to say the question.
Yeah.
Like, because he had to coax it from his own lips.
I think Bryce.
Any questions?
I think Bryce opened his mouth to answer it before he went done. I think he kind of just cowered at the last part of the question.
Open your mouth, boy.
Not the greatest question I've heard.
And then who is it that called the media member out? That was the point of the post.
Casey Stern. I don't know.
He's well known.
And guess what, Casey? If you ever follow this stuff, because I'm at a lot of these posts, there's a lot of dumb questions. I mean,
that would be right near the top. As the Nationals are crying by the locker room. Hey, Bryce, what do you think about
dumb,
the Cubs-Dodgers series?
Well, I like Kershaw's chances in Game 1. Rich Hill is tough, but he runs into blister problems in Game 2. And then when it heads back to Chicago, it's anybody's game, as we saw when we split 2 in Chicago just a couple days ago. Thanks.
Well, I mean, I've heard tales of the story where Chris Pronger was asked after being eliminated how the next game would go.
No, he was asked, how would you say your Stanley Cup chances are now?
That was after they
lost to Game 7 to the Sharks, Owen Nolan from the Red Line, an intern from Channel 11.
So we've seen this.
I witnessed it, and I watched the thought process in Pronger's head. Do I destroy her, or do I let her live?
Has she gone on to a career?
I don't believe so, but I don't know. She was an intern for Rich Gould.
Oh, God.
I'm sure Rich probably thought it was the best thing ever. Hey, Doug, look who's on the line. Probably one of the all-time favorites of our callers. Tucker is on the Appliances Counter Phone. Morning, Tucker.
Hello, hey, Tuxie.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Oh, we're fine. You?
I'm good, man. I'm driving out west on Highway 70 to Columbia. I do a little, once a month, I do a little, like, peer review for people I've become connected to at the law school here, so... I'll be out in that Tiger Country this morning looking for a big win this weekend.
Yep, I like their chances, Doug. They're only 30-point underdogs.
Yeah,
that line's going to change dramatically, though, once people look at the game tape.
Those football teams in Missouri, I'll tell you, they're at least one of them is, man. I'm going to catch the Chiefs game this weekend, too. We're going to go visit some friends.
Chiefs-Steelers, Doug.
Mm-hmm. 3:25 start time, bros. 3:25. You know what that means?
No.
Pony excess.
Oh.
It's going to be good.
Pony excess.
It's going to be a good day, boys, out in Kansas City. But what's been going on, man? How is everybody?
Doug, did we call it?
Oh, we're all fine. We're just fine. I thought you had a hot take.
I don't really spit hot takes, man, but I will tell you this. I was sitting at Plaza yesterday getting my oil changed.
Doug, you like that?
It was a humble brag. I got a big fancy car. I go to Plaza Motors.
And they got, dude, so like their break room is not real fancy or nothing, but they got a TV there.
Yeah.
And it's always tuned to, it's always got on like Fox News or CNN or whatever, just one of the news channels or whatever.
Yeah.
And yesterday it happened to have on Fox News. So I'm at this little like cubby with my laptop like working.
Sure.
You can kind of hear the conversations going on around you and whatnot.
Right.
And these two people who clearly didn't agree on the content of Fox News, I think they were talking for the 18th time about kneeling for the national anthem or something.
Oh.
But they were talking about it. And the one guy said, well, you know, we have a guy in St. Louis who would have been perfect if this idiot weren't in office, Donald Trump. And they talk about Danforth, whatever. One thing leads to another. Another dude who's a little bit younger. So these two people that were arguing were probably in their 60s. Dude who's a little bit younger pipes in and said, I just heard an interview with him this week where he called Donald Trump a moron and a nincompoop.
Nincompoop.
Thinking, I listened to that interview, bro. He didn't say none of that. So
You said that to him?
Yeah, yeah. And I got in the conversation, and that dude listens to the show, so he might be listening right now. He can call in. I don't know what his name was. But he says, he's like, I listened. And, you know, and then so the best comment that came out of all this is the old man who was real into his Fox News. I mean, like these NFL players, he was like, they should go to hell and all this stuff. I guess he fought in Nam or something. He pipes in and he starts talking some madness. And he said that John Danforth was a communist. He literally called the man a communist and said that he's just trying to do what's best for him and hates our country and he wants to leave and he can leave and he should go. And this dude is getting riled up right before his service rider came and told him that his Jaguar was clean. But dude was getting like fired up. And as soon as he left, the two people who he basically called Pinkos started having their own side conversation. And the younger guy was telling him everything about your podcast, but he was getting a lot of pieces of information wrong. He must not have really listened. He just must have had it on while he was like changing the baby diaper or something. I don't know.
Sometimes people listen to Tim and they get so swept away by his radio voice
right. That
they sometimes miss the content.
Yeah,
and that's a shame.
Tim, I wanted to like, the only thing about that interview I wanted to hear more of, because I've met Danforth before. And he's a straight shooter, man. Like, he's a good dude. But, like, I wanted to hear you say, like, the F word or something just because you could. Like, when Stern's first day on the radio, when they just said the F word and the C word and stuff just because they could.
Isn't that what they do in sixth grade?
I know. I'm such a child. But, like, I want to hear Danforth's reaction to it and be like, well, what was that? I've never heard that word before. That would have been great, man.
Oh, I expect he's heard it.
I think when you call in, people want less of a review on Timmy's podcast and more talk about some of the activities you've seen in the past.
Yeah, it seems like you go to El Pizza and you see lesbians.
Yeah, you see a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah, but they close that joint, and I don't go back to the new spot. I don't even know what's there.
Where are you seeing lesbianism these days?
I live a really mild life. I don't know why I get this reputation for lesbies, but like...
because you call in like three or four times with these stories.
Great stories, Tucker.
Yeah, but all right. So here's the thing. I do have one about a girl called Finger Cuffs, but I don't know how much I can talk about that.
That was Joey Lauren Adams and Chasing Amy. Was that 97?
I don't know.
I think that's where she got the nickname Finger Cuffs. It was Chasing Amy in the yearbook, right? It said her nickname was Finger Cuff.
Doug, is that correct? In the yearbook?
I don't have any clue what he's
talking about. Ben Affleck and Jason Lee, am I right, Tucker?
Yeah, April 97 it came out. You're dead on, bro. They get into a conversation in the movie about why she's called Finger Cuffs, and I think Ben Affleck wants to like hit her, which apparently he does a lot of after this Harvey Weinstein stuff.
Social commentary.
Yep.
But anyway, they get into an argument why she's called Finger Cuffs. She goes back to being a lazy because she doesn't want to hear him talk about her being finger cuffs anymore. Anyway, stupid story. But there's a chick from Maplewood who lives in Maplewood who my buddy goes over there and got in a finger cuff situation with after.
Now, isn't that an MMF? I mean, isn't that a more crass word for the more popular MMF?
Yeah, she wanted to be suction cup from either end.
Easy, so like, easy, easy.
They get in there and like her roommate was like literally just watching, and this dude comes up to the door and he's wearing a cowboy
hat. Now, hold on a second. It's important to know the gender of the roommate watching.
Oh, female. She's a female, but I guess she was just there, and I guess she's really drunk. And my buddy went back with her roommate, and she was with the girl. They both went back. So he might have been thinking he was going to be in the middle of a little carpet sandwich.
Easy.
But as it turned out, she had other ideas. And the other ideas were the double plunger.
So easy.
He gets in there and he didn't want any part of it and he ends up leaving. But she got pretty graphic about what she was expecting. And other dudes, he said he had a goatee, which I think is kind of important for the story.
But Doug, is that important?
Dudes, it just isn't.
Well, other dude was definitely into it and said like, I'm game if you are, you know, whatever. And my buddy said he went to the bathroom and just kind of like peaced out. He wasn't going to deal with any of it. So it's not like that great because he didn't participate. I think he got, like, I think he just got his ween touch.
Easy!
But I don't think like anything else came of it. He might have had a little drippage and maybe he even soaked a little bit. But I don't know if like anything happened with the finger, the actual finger cuffs. I mean, his fingers might have been cuffed in there a little bit, but I don't know if anything else happened.
So there were four people in the room.
So potentially
there was a lazy lesbian in a lounge chair is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, he said that she was kind of passed out. So she was kind of just like there watching. I think she's watching like Seth Meyers or something. And he was like, all right. He was just planning for some regular old sex, you know, and it didn't turn out to be what he expected. But nothing crazy happened, I don't think. But other than that, man, I go to soccer games. I go to T-ball games and stuff. I'm lame as hell, dude.
We had a caller, Tucker, suggest that one of the hottest things going on in the St. Louis area right now are dads on the down low at youth soccer games, and that's something that really piqued our curiosity. Is that accurate?
You mean like Weinstein stuff or something?
No. Like dads who are curious about other dads, and it's like it's such a hot thing, but we're like, is that real?
Like dudes going out behind the batting cages and handing each other off.
Okay.
All right, that's got to be it. That's strike three, Doug?
I haven't seen that at the soccer games I go to. But listen, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I haven't been a part of it for sure, and I haven't seen it happen.
It doesn't happen.
Dude, anything's possible. If Tim's hearing this, he's pretty plugged in.
He's making it up.
I don't know. He lives in Kirkwood and everything. Like, he's plugged in. I wouldn't be shocked.
How does that help? How are you plugged in because you live in Kirkwood?
Kirkwood is the Rome of the 21st century.
It's kind
of
like, you know how those mass people call Boston the hub? Kirkwood's kind of like the hub.
Yep.
You can never get a parking. There's never parking spots, right? You can never go to lunch or anything. There's nowhere to park.
Okay, like, so anywhere where there's no parking... Then anyone who lives there knows about dads hooking up with dads.
Well, you always gotta buy your kids a freaking ice cream cone from that little shop, man, across from like Billy G's there by the train.
What is that? The custard station?
No, it's good. What's wrong with that?
It sucks.
It's great.
It doesn't suck.
It's garbage. I'd rather go to Dairy Queen or something.
You know? Come on, it doesn't suck there.
No, that's great.
Mr. Misty. Yeah.
And then you watch a train, Doug.
What's the name of that place?
The custard station, baby.
Who cares? You just have a different name.
It's good. I'm taking my son there today.
Sometimes you watch a train go by.
Have fun finding a park. You can park down in Sunset Hills.
Yeah.
You can walk there because that's how far away you got to park to go to a freaking custard stand in Kirkwood.
Okay.
And they always got firemen passing out those stupid hats. And those hats, like, I have 75 of them at my house. They're all cracked. I end up throwing them all away because they get them every time we freaking go down there. I'm done with Kirkwood, man. I'll tell you what.
You are furious at Kirkwood.
A fireman handing you a free hat would make you fed up with the place.
But yet you label it the hub.
Well, yeah, because everybody there thinks it's the hub. Like, you tell them you grew up in Webster Groves, and they start looking at you like you got leprosy or something.
Yeah.
It's its own world, man. And I bet Timmy can hold his own there because he pals around with, like, you know, media types and whatever, but like,
yes.
if a regular
the elite.
Person, like
Tucker is an uber
person,
uber lemming.
He really
he
is
a thorough lemming.
Tim hangs around with media types in Kirkwood,
so he's part of the hub.
Moved there from like a suburbs of Cincinnati or something, they'd be looked at like they got four eyes. That's the truth,
right,
man. That's the stuff. I mean, but it's a nice little community. I mean, they got the community.
And where do you live? You live like in Clayton, Ladue?
Like towards over by like Lindbergh side of Ladue, so it's not as like ritzy.
It's
as,
still
like,
ritzy.
The inner Ladueans think, you know, those people.
Inner Ladueans.
That's its own breed in itself. You know, I could do a profile on towns and suburbs of St. Louis. They got their own. Each one has their own like living organisms. They have their own breeds. And
you know, the problem with Ladue, the problem with that Ladue area is you can't get a good McDonald's.
Yeah,
there's no fast food places.
Well,
there's
no, I wonder what's wrong with their zoning.
Where do you go?
I complained to the city council and said I wanted a Quick Trip, and they laughed me out of court.
Yeah,
they don't want a damn Quick Trip in their town, but I want those taquitos. I want like to be able to go in there and get a slice of pie. You can't get a Quick Trip in Ladue.
No, you can't.
They told me to get bent.
I know.
They told me to Marilyn Manson myself when I got up in there, and I was like...
Wait, so you went to the Ladue town hearing, city hearing, to say that you want a Quick Trip in there?
Yeah, sure. Those
well,
are
open
nice.
One.
I actively, you can't. The zoning doesn't allow for gas.
Right, but I mean, you can't just go in as a citizen and say to the people that run the city, yeah, get a Quick Trip in here. Go ahead and get a business partner. Tim is running in moneyed circles, and then see if you can push it through.
No, I'm telling you, man, there will never be a gas station in Ladue. I'm telling you. They are adamant about that. They said it brings too much traffic and too many, quote, undesirables. They don't want
a gas station. That would be anyone who drives a car, then.
You can look it up, man.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But, I mean, to say undesirable, that's anyone who drives a car.
Wait, let me. I just looked it up and I Googled and it said, Inner Ladueans don't want a gas station. There's a headline.
Thank you. I'm telling you, man. It's right like next. You can find articles.
All right, Tucker, I got to go. Any lesbian stories real quick? Anything?
No, I'm sorry I wasted your time, guys. Look for me at the Chiefs game, man. I'll see you guys.
We don't know what you look like.
We'll be there. We'll be watching for you. Wow.
All right, see you, Tuxie.
Guys, Tucker is the greatest caller of all time. When is this guy getting his own show? That's from Larry's Lozenge. Tim, Tucker needs a podcast. That's from In Hoc No Joke. In Hoc Signo Winkes. In this sign, you will conquer. Think about it.
I don't need to think much about that.
No, it's the Sigma Chi thing.
Okay. Yep. Well, we're not Sigma Chi. It's Sigma Nu.
Snakes.
Yep. It's a snake.
Touch my snake. It's pretty funny.
Sigma Chi, Sigma Nu, but there is a brother kinship there, right? Between the two because of the Sigma.
I don't know that that makes you cousins or anything. I don't think so.
Kissing cousins.
I don't think it does. No.
Mike Francesa counted how many bowl games there are out loud. Take a listen.
40?
There's a lot of bowl games. There are. You know how many bowl games there are?
I think 40.
It is amazing how many there are on there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 41 now.
They added another one.
Playoffs. 41. If you count the championship game, 42. That's a lot of games. It really is.
It is.
That is a lot of games.
It's a lot.
I wish you'd have lost count and started again.
So that means there's 80 teams in the bowls. And there's, what, 120 that are playing right. Division One?
No.
I mean, that took a minute right there to read off the ball. I mean,
he's got 5 hours.
Yep. And at that point, he's like, okay, well, maybe 14 minutes of commercials.
Surprised he didn't read the name of each fool. That would have killed a lot of time.
Doug, there is an Amco at Clayton and Price. Thanks, 314. Guys, I'm going to ask my fiance to finger cuff me at Tim from Rock Hill. If you play that Francesa sound back, he counted number 28 twice. Listen to it. It's from Pine Top Perkins.
Pine Top Perkins. That's a nice name.
25, 26, 27, 28, 28, 29,
Nothing gets by Pine Top.
He was right on it, too.
I'll bet he's J-A-T, counting major.
Doug, it's the Design Air Heating and Cooling 7 o'clock hour Design Air with over 75 HVAC technicians. They always provide fast and friendly service. DesignAirService.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. Coming up on your Four Seasons Penske Truck Captain's Log, Eddie McVeigh with the Maggie O'Brien's Picks of the Week, Lisa Ann, ABN Hall of Famer and SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio hosts on Fantasy Football Friday. Tweet your questions at TheRealLisaAnn. It's brought to you by DB's. Iggy's Drops of the Week presented by The Post, the Bernie Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and Hot Shots Email of the Day. And we'll be at Hot Shots on Thursday, October 26th in Webster Groves. I think it's our first TMA Live there. So that's big. I know they've been wanting it in Webster, and we've always kind of had, we've gotten close, and then the negotiations will fall through.
Yeah.
But this time we got it done, and it's October 26th at Hot Shots in Webster Groves. It's right by Groan's Cafeteria. Is that still there? I know that's a landmark for our listeners.
I don't know. I don't think I've been to Groan's Cafeteria.
I think it is, actually.
Yeah, it's a pony. it's presented by Bud Select, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And Lena's Pizza, it seems like, is becoming the official frozen pizza of the Ryan Kelly
Morning After. People love it.
People love it. At this point now, I think I got to go out there and get some, especially if I have a nip of it. Don't get it yourself.
Have someone else pick it up
for
you.
I would. There's a delivery service now that Deerberg's has.
I'm usually picking one up, a couple up every other day.
You can drop one by. Just leave it on the front porch, though. Don't knock.
Yeah, throw out like a paper boy.
Paperboy Diddy. Was that 92?
I don't know the years. Look that up, Bob. Diddy. Don't pay attention to the years.
It's a popular song, but he was a one-hit wonder. 93, maybe? I guess 93 is in play. Well, anyway, Lena's Pizza is the 92 is confirmed? Of course it is. It's the only frozen pizza made with 100% Provel, and it's delicious. It's called Lena's Frozen Pizza, and it's absolutely the only frozen pizza made with St. Louis's favorite Provel cheese. Lena's Frozen Pizza is handmade here in St. Louis and available in up to 10 different fresh and generous topping combinations. The Plowhawk's official recommendation, the Buffalo Chicken. Go online to lenaspizzastl.com to see all the varieties and the great comments from people who've already tried and love Lena's. You'll find Lena's Frozen Pizza at Schnucks, Deerberg, Shop and Save, Straub's, Aldi's, and many other markets. For the location of the grocer nearest that carries Lena's, visit lenaspizzastl.com. That's Lena's Pizza STL.com. Tim, you had a TMA Live in Webster in May of 2015. Thanks. That's from JC in South Webster.
Yeah, that, we're still researching that.
Right.
Good thing about that Groans, I can just go next door and find feet.
Doug, they're a little older at Groans usually. That's great orange Jell-O, though.
Okay. Yeah, I don't mind orange Jell-O. I don't mind eating dinner at 4 in the afternoon either. I need any time for you.
I like it, too. You get it out of the way, then you can get to bed early.
Yeah, and you don't have like a belly full of food at 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Guys, I got done shaving with a Harry's razor last night and threw in 2 Lena's pizzas after. Quite a pony. Thanks, Weezer.
Well, that sounds like a great time.
Doesn't it?
To sit at home and eat 2 entire pizzas by yourself. That is a pony show.
Been there, done that.
You put down 2 frozen pizzas?
I mean, I have.
How large are frozen pizzas? 12 inches? Are they 10 inches? Nurse?
I think 12. And
you ate them both? While you're smoking?
Oh, smoking. And I have this sick Texas Longhorn dynasty that I'm playing right now. But we don't have to. I know it's
what
about.
What does that mean?
We're coming up on the breaks.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I want to hear all about it. What year? Some Mac Brown coach teams? Is Charlie Strong?
It's the last year.
Tommy Herbig.
It's the last year of the college football season. 2014 is the last year the game came out. So Mac Brown still chugging along. Vince Young and Barry Sanders just graduated. Now I'm bringing on Joe Montana and Eric Dickerson as my two top flight recruits.
Texas. I think Montana went to Texas for 3 years and then he transferred to Notre Dame.
You create the prospect, then put him on the recruiting board, and then the whole year you get to recruit your creative player.
Isn't that fun? Wouldn't it be fun to recruit fake people on
no.
a video game?
Oh, wow, no, it really
fantastic.
Would.
So how much money do you have to pay these fake recruits?
Oh, actually, no money charge. Is involved, but a lot of recruiting points. You got to make phone calls. I mean,
so you sit there and make fake phone calls to fake recruits while you eat frozen
pizza? The key is the visit day, because you can't, if he wants to go to Oklahoma and you... Your visit can't be before Oklahoma or you're done. So you gotta when you customize your schedule, you gotta have home games against top flight opponents at the tail end of your schedule so you can get those recruits. Let's say you're playing an LSU, because I went independent. I don't like the Big 12, so I get to create my whole schedule.
So Texas is now an independent school.
Yes. Don't worry. I moved Tulsa into the Big 12 to make it even.
So you create the recruit, and then you actually call the fake recruit. How does that work? Doesn't make sense.
You don't actually get to call the fake recruit, but there's an option that you can send the assistant coach out there. You could actually
so
go
So there is
personally.
No assistant coach, but you send a
you
fake.
Can send a
so
fake
who do you send? Like Reef, Mace Dog?
No, I send the offensive coordinator usually. And so, and then that gains, and when they come visit your school, the campus atmosphere at Austin is unbelievable. They got that program tradition. So usually you lock them up if they come on your campus, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's fun for the whole family. Jameson would love it in a couple years.
Yeah, maybe I'll get Jameson NCAA College Football 2014 and we'll make recruiting calls together. That'd be awesome.
There has to be a button you hit to slip the recruit money. If it's going to be realistic, there has to be that button.
Guys, and we wonder why millennials are human waste. That's from Timmy Tom Tom, not on board with millennials. Plowhawk, are you a millennial by definition?
By definition, yes.
When I played NCAA March Madness on PS3, I recruited every day for Syracuse. Thanks, White Collar Gangster. But I guess that's the move, Doug. You get a video game and then you just recruit fake people.
Yeah. I've got so little going on in my life, so few responsibilities that I have hours each day to
and Doug,
spend
the best
on
part,
fake recruiting trips in a video game.
I worked really hard to get this 74 wide receiver. Probably wouldn't play that much, but he looked like a worker bee, 6'3".
Well, you created
them.
You
can actually recruit others. There are other generated players. You just throw your created ones in there. This guy went from a 74. They call these, you recruited a gem. He went from 74 to an 81 by the time the recruiting season ended.
Well, that's coaching.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's coaching. It also shows a guy who's willing to work.
Right. Let me
and
ask
that's why
you
he's what we call a gem.
Let's get a little slice of life for Plowsy. So you're home. You got like you're home like noon and you're not working the next day. So you got a good 14 hours. How much of it are you smoking? How much are you playing video games?
It all depends on how much I have. If I have a full jar of marijuana, it's on. I mean, it's...
An entire jar? How big is the jar? Like a mason jar?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not full,
does he
but...
smoke all of that at
no,
one time?
No, not in one time. No, no. But that means, hey, I can have fun tonight and still have some for the future. And so it all depends on if my freezer is full. The best is on a Friday, go to Schnucks, You got your jar. You take out the dog. The dog just laid down for a little nap on the sectional, and it is on. You just pop in that game, and
you're like a how many hours with a bunch of nuts that are already packed away.
If there
away.
Wasn't sun, I wouldn't know what day or what time.
How many
it
hours
is.
In a row can you play?
Like in between cigarettes, or like right. before I turn it off?
Because usually you turn it include off. The cigarettes or not?
Yeah. Probably go 6-7 hours.
Oh, Lord.
Good for you. And what's your girlfriend doing outside of being very turned
she
on?
She is not that. I try not to pop in and play with Joe Montana for Texas while she's there. It's right. kind of embarrassing.
What?
So
yeah, it is kind of, what is what
I just
is
wait till usually she's at work or she, you know, is babysitting or hanging out with her dad. That's when, okay, strap in. It's
so
time.
Her father comes over and plays video
no,
games.
No,
no.
If she's busy with her mom or dad doing activities or, you know, going to
leading
swap
normal
meets,
life.
Things like that. Yes.
Yeah. Did I hear dad and strap on?
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. it's the, no. If she's with her dad, then I get to strap on to the game system. That's what I meant by that.
How about not, buckle up? Let's go with
buckle
that.
Up better.
Right. I can't get through level 6 of Super Mario.
You're playing Super Mario, brother?
Yeah.
The hell's going on?
Isn't
here?
That an old one? That was like the one of the first
yeah, that was
ones
made
that
in
came
86.
Out.
I got the NES Classic.
Well, oh, people brag.
Sure, I understand.
Well,
we got it. We got the Design Air heating and cooling.
Yeah, this is good.
Hour. That was very good. Good takes, everybody. Design Air. Doug's a client. I'm a client. The cat's a client. Why don't you become a client? You'll be happy you did. Get your furnace checked. You know it's going to be in the 80s this weekend. But then I look at that forecast coming up in late October, and then I see highs in the 40s, and I go, oh, my,
I don't like it.
Here we go.
I don't care for it.
It's important to have your furnace checked, so make sure you're ready to go with Design Air. Seth Goldkamp and his family are fourth-generation owners. 314-739-1600, 314-739-1600. Go online at designairservice.com. Design Air is the number one train dealer in the Midwest. It's hard to stop a train. Eddie McVay with Maggie O'Brien's Picks of the Week and Lisa Ann still to come, plus the Hot Shots email of the day, the Burnerly Cutlery Cuts of the Week, and the Post Drops presented by Iggy. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning.